May I read for you, and you do not turn to it. Let me just read you a little bit of Matthew chapter 22. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Now that's the pivotal part of the passage there. They would not come. And because they would not come, it says in verse 4, again, he sent forth other servants, saying, notice that now, he sent forth other servants. So what he did was, he initiated a plan whereby he was going to get folks to come to a wedding feast, and because folks would not come, he initiated another plan and sent forth other servants. I'll tell you about it in a few minutes. A prince was going to get married. His father, the king, wanted to honor his son. So he got a preferred guest list, as you can imagine, a preferred list, and sent his servants to invite these preferred people, these elite people, to come to a meal in honor of his son, who was about to get married. And I don't know how it is. I think I can guess, though. I suspect they sat down, and I have an idea that the father maybe got with the queen, and they said, okay, we're going to make up a list here of people, and who should be on that list? Well, let's see. Maybe we ought to include the cabinet of the king, and we ought to include all the royalty in the land and all the dukes and so forth. And so they made out a preferred list. Now, this list is a list of nobles. Ah, no bad names on this list. No peasants on this list. No second-class people on this list. No bourgeois on this list. I mean, just the top, all the way to the top. And they got this. So they said, okay, servant, I want you to go. Now, they didn't have any mail. They didn't have any telephones. They didn't have any Western Union. And so that's the only way they could get the message out was to send the message. So the servant started going out, and they would take the message, and they'd take it to one of the nobles, and he'd read the invitation. He invited to come to a wedding feast in honor of the prince given by the king. Well, one fellow said, I'm sorry, I can't come. I just can't do it. I have something else to do. This is not the parable as found in Luke chapter 14, but I just can't do it. So they kept going, and the people kept saying no. And the Bible says that the people did not come. The elite crowd didn't come. So the king, they came back and said, the king said that they wouldn't come. The nobles wouldn't come. The high folks wouldn't come. The cabinet folks wouldn't come. The rich folks wouldn't come. The mighty folks wouldn't come, the generals wouldn't come, the elite wouldn't come, the wealthy wouldn't come, the learned wouldn't come, the educated wouldn't come, the scholars wouldn't come. And so now, what can we, and the king was disturbed. The king was embarrassed. Can you imagine how he would have felt? If deceit, here is a meal in honor of the prince. And the king wants to honor his son. Can you imagine how embarrassed it'd be if the meal was served and there were empty seats all over the banquet hall? And can you imagine how embarrassing it would be to the prince? Here he is, the prince. He's going to get married and can't even get a full house to come to the banquet in his honor. Can you imagine how the bride would feel? Here's the bride marrying into the royal family, and of course she wants to have a great wedding, and they want to give her an honored time. And so she would come and say, well, there are no places here, and the place is empty here, and all the places not filled is embarrassing to her. So the king adopted a new plan, and this was his plan. The king said, I'm going to send some other servants out, and I want those other servants to go out into the highways, and I want you to bid, and the word bid here is a different word. It means command. I want you to command them to come in. So they had the feast, and here came all of the derelicts, here came all of the down-and-outers in, and the prince had enough people for his wedding feast. Now, there are five different parts to this new plan. This emergency measure, this emergency plan with which the king was going to fill up the banquet hall for his son. In the first place, there were new people. New people. Now, the elite wouldn't come. So the Bible says that the king went out, as sent the folks out, and said, as many as ye shall fine, and he also said the good and the bad. So when the banquet comes, he says, go to beggars on the street. We haven't eaten in days. Go to the fellow who reeks with an order on the street. And bring them all in. Bring the little rough kids in. Bring the poor folks in. Bring the ignorant as well as the learned. Bring the down as well as the up. Bring the low as well as the high. Bring the poor as well as the rich. Bring the illiterate as well as the scholar. Bring them all in. And can you imagine how that banquet must have looked? They've come to the banquet hall. It's been prepared. And here comes what a crowd this is. I can hear them talking now. One of the kids says, boy, what a joint this is. Boy, look at this place. Man alive, and a rescue mission man who stumbles in, drunk comes in, and boy, oh boy, look at the grub on this table. And they come in, all of the awful looking people come in, and look at that one, he's stopping his breathing. Look at that one, he's pouring his coffee in the cup, and slurping the coffee out of the cup. And here is the, you never saw a royal banquet like this before. You never saw a banquet like this. Here, an elegant dining hall. Chandeliers, no less. And only rich churches have chandeliers, and those are in debt. And and here, chandeliers, and royal, the silver, and the china, and the crystal, nothing but the debt. And a motley crowd of people, can you imagine it? The royal guy, he puts his own money and stuff, put it up like that, and the king looks out, but the place is full. The place is full. No empty place. The place is full. All the down-outers have come, and the place is full. The first group. Now, the first group would have come elegantly. And no doubt, the waiter with a napkin across his arm would have come. And the fellow would have pulled out the chair for his wife, and the wife would have sat very daintily, like, with her handkerchief like this. And she would have said, doo-doo-doo! And, that's what all rich folks say a poodle to do. And she would have said, Judy, how lovely you look tonight, my dear. And she'd have had her glasses on a stick. You know, that's why I first wore glasses on a stick. That's why God gave you a sideboard here for on the side of your head. And so, and had glasses on a stick. And all of her coats and the stoles, now I don't mean the kind of stole that the boys did at the Catholic Church this morning. But all of her coats and the, now that's the crowd they wanted to come, but that crowd couldn't come. And so look at the poor kid and listen to that noise. Now if the elite crowd would have come, it would have been very, very quiet and very, very proper. And they would have said, now take your order, madame. I'm not sure that's the way they'd have said it, but it would have been very proper and very right. But here comes the crowd in, and one little kid kicks over a chair, and one old drunk decides to lose his food on the floor, and it's already in, and they're sopping, and you can't ever smell such an odor in your life. And the king says, oh boy, I didn't have this kind of banquet in mind, but thank God the place is full. My son has a banquet, and there's not a place that's empty. They have new people. What he said is that if the rich won't come, bring the poor. The learned won't come, bring the ignorant. If the pretty won't come, bring the ugly. If the elite won't come, bring the outcast. If the seeing won't come, bring the blind. If the hearing won't come, bring the deaf. If the lender won't come, bring the borrower. If the well won't come, bring the sick. If the parent won't come, bring the kid. If the bum won't, boss won't come, bring the janitor. If the doctor won't come, bring the patient. But fill the house. This is God likes full houses. Every once in a while, some backslidden fellow will say, well, we just don't believe in numbers. Well, then neither does the devil, but God does. And God likes full houses. You check how many times in the Bible the Lord told us a great multitude was there. Great multitude was there. God likes full houses. God would rather see this building full of outcasts and dirty ragamuffin kids. He'd rather see dirt on the carpet and dirty feet in the altar. God would rather see these pews instead of white or gray and have a full house. And have a bunch of snobs here and have a bunch of empty pews. Now, God's interested in a full house. So, an emergency plan was, bring the new people. And all the odor and the noise and the manners and the faces. But boy, I'll tell you what, this picture's the gospel. I hate anybody die and go to hell, but aren't you glad that the rich folks didn't come to Jesus? Aren't you glad that you said he came to his own received him not? Aren't you glad the banquet table wasn't full and there's room for you and for me? People say, well, I don't want these dirty kids come messing up our church. I don't expect they wanted me come messing up the Affirmative Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas either when I was a boy. I'm glad that the Lord said go out and tell the fella on Ann Arbor Street, that poor little kid, out yonder in the country, that's a barefooted kid living in a little two-room shack with a dipper in a bucket and a telephone booth out in the backyard that we never made a call from, and a Sears and Roebuck catalog and so forth. Don't tell that poor little fella! Don't tell the Dunkard's kid! All the elite won't come, bring the down-outers. All the uppers won't come, bring the Lord! And so the Lord said, some new people are going to come. But there's a second thing in this emergency plan, that is a new zeal. A new zeal. I did not say a new deal. I said a new zeal. He said, bid them to come. Now, can you picture it? Here, the cooks have been working day and night for weeks, and they've got the best meal plan they can plan, and the tables are all spread. Can you think of the halls decorated and the dainty dishes and the flowing gold? And think of the place all filled, and it's time to eat. And some folks said they'd come, but they didn't come. And you wait at the door, and you see all the empty places, and still there are not many folks coming in. And it's after a while, the king's going to come in. After a while, the prince is going to come in, and the bride's going to come in. And the king begins to pace the floor, and he says, oh, my son is going to be embarrassed, and I'm embarrassed, the bride's embarrassed. What can we do? Look at all these empty tables, and look at all this food, and look at all this space. We've got to get somebody to come. And so there was a new zeal. Now, the way they went out the first time was, they went out, and I imagine the servant knocked on the door and said, how do you do? I have a message from the king. The king, his royal highness, invites you to attend a supper in honor of the prince, his royal substitute highness. And he is going to get married. We invite you, and there was probably an engraved invitation for them. That's when we went out the first time. That didn't work. That never does work. That never does work. No, that doesn't work. He said, you are cordially invited. Say, I can prove it. These pretty wedding announcements I read here. Always done, usually done in script and high fluting words. They request the honor of your presence as the two are united in holy matrimony. What they mean is, come and bring us something when you come. But you check and see how the crowd we have at weddings. Do you know that 200 people here at a wedding is a mighty big crowd? You don't get crowds that way. You don't send formal invitations and say, we request the honor of your presence. That didn't work. So the king said, where are the people? Where are they? Oh, they were the folks, our king. He didn't go about the right method to get them. And the king, okay, the king said, we got to put it up. Go out and get them. And the word bid means commander. He said, come on, man. We got to go. Hey, you come on here. Come on! And that's the way you got them. That's the way you got them. Next time, hold on both hands there, fella. That's the way you get them. You say, Master Boardway, His Royal Highness requests the honor of your presence at Sunday School on March the 16th. We hope that you will come up. Well, you don't get a crowd that way. You get a crowd going knocking on doors and saying, man, you gotta come. You gotta come. We're gonna give you, man alive, we're gonna give you a cup with a movie star picture down in the bottom there. Man alive, you gotta come! Won't say no to me. You gotta come! You gotta come! You gotta come! Come tell them! Command them, the Bible says. Beg them. Now, the king found out you don't get a crown by formal invitation. The king found out you get a crowd by bidding them to come. So, when the crowd didn't show up, by the way, I'm so glad about this new zeal. The king said, I must have guests. Take hold of this coat and bring him and holler at him and beg him to come. A lot of folks criticize First Baptist Church and our methods. They criticize us more if we had more folks listen to them.
A lot of preachers across this area getting up tonight and criticizing First Baptist Church and because of our methods, and all 40 people are sound asleep while they're doing it. Because they don't believe there's uncouth method. That's why you can't get anybody to banquet table. Now, the honest truth is, the king said, we've got to have it. My son is going to get married. And my future daughter-in-law, I'll be embarrassed. We've got to fill these cases up. Hey, you servants, get out here and drag them in here. Get the poor bum stumbling down in the gutter, and get the fella at the bar, and get the fella at the tavern, and get the poor little kid that nobody loves, and get the poor fallen woman, and get the poor hungry people, and go down to the ghetto and get them, and bring them in! I gotta get my house full so my son will be honored as he ought to be honored on his heel. There was a banquet for the son, the prince, but the first plan didn't work until he got new people, and the first plan didn't work until they got new zeal. But then there's a third thing they got new, and that was they got new servants. They got new servants. The first servants didn't cut the mustard. First servants didn't get the crowd. First servants went out and said, beloved, we invite you to come to the banquet. And so the king said, I go to new people. Get the poor, the halt, the maimed, the blind. Get everybody. Then he said, I want you to use new tactics. I want you to use zeal. Oh, listen to me tonight. Listen, what the Church of Jesus Christ needs in America more than she needs most anything other than God's power, His zeal. I like what the prophet said, the zeal of the Lord hath eaten me up. And that's what will get the job done for God. I mean, a holy zeal to get the job done, going from house to house and place to place. But thank God he got new servants. At first he sent the holy, dignified, reserved servants. And I'm sure they went down the streets and they knocked on the door of the big, famous people, and the servant said, Your Majesty requests the honor of his presence at the banquet for his son. And that crowd never did. That kind of servant never did get a crowd. Never did. I'm sure they had a choir behind him singing the sevenfold Amen when he got through. And I'm sure they sang the glory of Potiphar and the Lord is in his holy temple, and all the rest of it. But nobody came. And the king said, okay, I tried my dignified. Hey! Hey, Jim Bender, your crowd, get over here. You loudmouth bunch. Nothing personal. I like loudmouth people. You people get little kids that go down and rob the Catholic churches. Took him years to train kids like that. Get him some more servants. And so he got some servants, and here's a servant that said, boy, I'd like to go. I'll get some people to fill this place up. And one servant said, do not send him, master. He is uncouth. Let me go. I want to go. I'll fill this place up. You dead guys couldn't do it. Let's get some life in this thing. And so they sent out some new servants, some loud-mouthed servants, some servants that ran instead of crawled, some servants that hollered instead of whispered, some servants that got excited instead of died. And those fellows filled it up. And the reserved and dignified servants didn't do it. No longer just for the select, just using those servants. The trained servants? No more. They tried the new ones. They tried the Sam Joneses and the Good of Sundays. The Lord comes down. Okay, all you dignified pastors, seminary graduates, I want you to get a crowd for church. And they can't do it, so the Lord says, okay, I come to play left field in Chicago White Sox. Hey, you fell out there. You don't have much education. Hey, come here. What's your name? It is Sunday. Hey, you run pretty fast around the bases, best I can. Why don't you just preach? Preach? Good night. I haven't been to college. Good, that'll help you some. And, well, I haven't been to seminary. Good, you still qualify on all the points so far. Hey, stay out there. Then his son that drops his baseball glove and hangs up his spikes and doubles up his fist and says, come on out of hell, old sweaty face, let's go up your hands, you old devil, you. And he goes up and down the country. What? Uncouth? Yeah. But he gets the crowd to come to the banquet. Oh, God deliver me. The first time I hear one of our preacher boys going out and having a so-called formal dignified worship service, I'm going to pray the heck so out of that in the 40 thieves to fall on you. I pray you'll get the hiccups every time you get up and preach, and the 7 years, so you'll scratch while you're hiccuping. Oh, you hear me? We need some men of God with holy zeal. The servant will get the call in. That's what we need in our churches. And so we have new servants, by the way. The Lord came down and said, I'd like for you dignified servants to get a crowd, but they couldn't get one. So it's like me, yeah. Hey, did you go to seminary? No. What kind of education you got? Ninth grade? That's just what I'm looking for. I want you to go down and build a church in Chicago. And Moody goes down to Chicago and the great Moody Church. Listen, the great Moody Church in Chicago was started with Dwight Moody starting a bunch of wagon routes. With horses drawing wagons to pick up boys and girls, a bus ministry, if you please. And it was started that way. That's how it was started. By the way, you can put it up the same way today. The same way today. I'm simply saying you won't fill up the place with the elite. You won't fill up the place with the necessary train. You got to have the fellow who gets the servant that gets busy and with zeal goes out with the holy fire of God in his bones to bring the folks in. And so, to have new servants. I'm glad about that. Wouldn't it have been awful, fellas, if the first servants could have filled the house? We never would have gotten a job, would we? Huh? Aren't you glad that the first servants failed? We wouldn't have had anything to do. I'm so glad that the crap. I'm so glad that the big boys failed so we little ignoramuses could fill the house up. I'm glad about that. Thank God. The Lord said, okay, house, fill it up. Yeah. Okay, you little bitty fellas, fill it up. Why? Because other fellows couldn't do it. Brother, you will never fill it up with that dead kind of form of Christianity going on across America today. Even this dead fundamentalism. No amen, no praise the Lord, no hallelujah, no lip, no tear, no joy, no enthusiasm, no zeal. No burden, no compassion, no concern, no tears, no heartache, no broken souls. And so the new servants went out. That isn't all. An emergency plan included new people. It includes new zeal, it includes new servants, but it includes new faces. New faces. The king said to his elite servant, said, fellas, I want you to go down here to the wealthy. I want you to go to the nobles. I want you to go to the elite. I want you to go to the wealthy. They came back and they couldn't fill it. Now, maybe a few old snobs came in. You know, there's something wonderfully sweet about simplicity of the gospel. You know, something happened real sweet the other day to me, and yet it wasn't. It was embarrassing, but it was sweet. Out in my office, as you know, people line up outside my office. Usually the line at my office goes down to Gold Glass on Sunday night. So I was in my office last Sunday morning. And Mrs. Phyllis Moffitt brought her children in for a second, and they talked to me for a while, and the little girl won't tell me that she had gotten saved now, and I think that's what it was. So I said, well, so I sat down on the back of the couch. Back of the couch faces the door, and I sat down, so you folks know how to do it, sat down on the back of the couch, and so I picked the little girl up, put her on my knee, and I was telling her I loved her, and so forth. A little child born, reared, since I've been here. And a little bit of thing. So I lost my balance. And I fell back. At first I just tottered for a second, you know, on the brink, you know, just like the fellow who had a horse. And he talked the horse to go when he said amen. And he said, praise the Lord, he's going. And said amen, he's going to stop. And so he said, get back this. And he said, said, praise the Lord. He'd take off, you know. Amen! It stopped, and so one day the horse was going lickety-split, and he said, I was trying to think what to say, and the horse came almost to a cliff, and the fellow said, amen! And the horse stopped right on the brink of the cliff, and the fellow said, praise the Lord. And so I was right on the brink of the cliff, about to fall. And I fell backwards, and my feet went straight up in the air, just like that. There was Dr. Hiles, and I had to hold the little girl so she wouldn't fall. She fell on top of my stomach, and then I catapulted down on the floor, and there I was, my head on the floor, and
and my feet in the air, and
my hips were on the sofa where they're supposed to be,
but I was inverted, and there I was, and I was humiliated and embarrassed, and yet I thought, after, isn't it wonderful that we have a kind of relationship where my reputation is not ruined, you know? And that little girl will always say, I'm the only girl in the world with a house at Fellfire. And so, little 5 or 6 year old precious thing, I said, we fell for each other, didn't we? She'll never forget it. I won't either. And that's the kind. You know, the Lord doesn't need any big shots. He needs a lot of happy little shots. Lord doesn't need no, holy. He needs some praise the Lord. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord needs some. The Lord's in here. Praise the Lord. And that's the kind of servants that fill up the place. And so there was an emergency. There were new places. The king said, we tried the rich communities. We tried the places where the rich folks live. We tried the big home. We tried the luxurious apartments. We tried the rich condominiums. Now he said, let's go out to the, what are you fellas? Go out to slums and go up and down the street and get the folks in the slums to come. Hey, you over here. I want you to go to the marketplace and tell the folks to come to banquet. And hey, you back here. I want you to go to the playground, have a little poor kids play and tell the kids to come to banquet. And hey, I want you to go to the tavern and tell them they're welcome to come also. And why don't you go to Main Street in town and definitely go house to house. Tell the servants to go everywhere, down the skid row, everywhere. And bring them in. That's the emergency measure. We're living in the emergency age, dear friends. Formal Christianity hasn't done it. The big denominations are dying on the vine. So what is God doing? God has turned to new servants, to go to new people with a new plan, new zeal, and to go to new areas. So the vineyard told me a while ago that we had 2 weeks ago, I guess the last Sunday in the city center, a fellow named Melendez came to our church, 22 years of age. He came one time only. He got saved and baptized. Was it Friday? This past Friday, somebody shot him in the head and killed him from the back. He only came one time. Aren't you glad somebody went out and got the new people? Aren't you glad there's one church in the area where a poor little bus kid is just as welcome as a millionaire? Aren't you glad there's one church in the area where the poor bum on the street and the poor fellow who's down and out and the fellow from the ghetto is as welcome as the fellow is that makes $100,000 a year? So the Lord said, go to the new places. By the way, I'm glad that the people in the rich places didn't accept. I can recall when I was a boy, we had to walk by one house between my house and church. It was a brick house. It was the only brick house that was in our neighborhood. We called it the brick house. Now, looking back on it, it really wasn't much house. It was 2 bedroom brick. Most of you folks wouldn't want that smaller house if you have a family. Just 2 bedroom brick. But boy, I can recall looking at it. And I remember first when I went inside a real nice house, it had carpet on it. And I took off my shoes. And I walked around on the carpet. I wriggled my toes. It never dawned on me I'd let that carpet cover a football field someday. But you know, this old starchy kind of Christianity just appeals to the elite kind of people. One fellow said to me one time, he said, the way you preach, the city council won't come to your church. I said, not but 9 of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We'd have 1 for each section and 1 in the choir. City councilmen are as welcome as the ghetto people, but they're no more welcome. Richest man in the city is as welcome as anybody, but he's no more welcome. Why? The emergency plan says, go down the ghetto! Go out in South Chicago and go to North Chicago and go over it. Go out here in the Columbia Center and go out here in the poor slum area and go down the playgrounds and go down the marketplaces and go down the skid row and bring them all to the banquet so my son can get the iron you off the cat. Our new places. That isn't all. There's a new plan. But then this gets you. It says, the new plan, they gathered them together and brought them. First plan, they invited them to come. Didn't get anybody that way. Second plan, they brought them. It says they gathered together. The old plan invited them to go. Come on, to go. And now, gather them and bring them. So then, I was reading something that Spurgeon wrote the other day. And I want to quote what I read in one of Spurgeon's articles. There's a big battle going on these days about whether you should feed kids. Give them a balloon or give them a hamburger. I want to read what Spurgeon said. I quote, sometimes at our treats for Sunday school children, every child is told to bring his own mug and plate. That's Spurgeon. They gave away so much to their Sunday school kids that come, they had to bring their own plates and cups. We give out the cups when it comes. Yeah. Spurgeon said, okay, got a big crowd in Sunday school. All you kids bring your cups and plates. We're going to feed you. Oh, how awful. No. It's awful for you elite people. It's awful for you folks that want your sevenfold amens and your high church worship. It's not awful if you have the emergency plan that God put in your practice. Over here in Chicago, Dwight L. Moody started the Moody Church for the Sunday school, going out on the streets and getting poor little kids. Young people, hey! Getting poor little kids and bringing them in. And one day, Mr. Moody saw one of the Sunday school kids going down the street, and he started running after him. And the kid turned the corner, and Mr. Moody was sort of big. He had never heard my sermon on health, foods, and he was sort of big, and he waddled down the street after the little kid. And the kid turned the corner, Mr. Moody turned the corner, and the kid ran down the street, and Mr. Moody ran down the street. And the kid turned into the apartment house, and Mr. Moody turned into the apartment house. And the kid ran up the stairs, and Mr. Moody ran up the stairs. And the kid opened the door, went to an apartment. Mr. Moody followed him into the apartment. And the kid crawled under the bed. Mr. Moody reached out and grabbed her foot and pulled it out from under the bed. And the father came in and said, well, what's this going on? And Mr. Moody had the kid with the foot dragging him out. He said, won't you come to Sunday school Sunday? And the father said, you must be crazy, Moody. You must be crazy, Moody. And that name caught on, and they called Mr. Moody crazy Moody. Wonder why? Well, I used to at the Moody Church, and I'm not being critical of Moody Church. I don't know what's going on down there now. But I'm saying when Mr. Moody was there, the poor down and outers would come, and the little children, poor kids would come, and the drunkards off the street would come, and the farm job was there, and the old farm religion was there, and blessings were there, and the altar was filled with sinners coming to God. Oh, let me tell you, the new plan is gather them together and bring them. And you've heard Mr. Moody had the horses and the wagons. And bring them in! Come on, you bus kids! Come on, you missing men! Come on, the blind! Come on, the deaf! Come on, the retarded! Come on, the poor! Come on, the crippled! I was blessed to hear about one of our own girls, Leslie Gomez. The Gomezes live in a beautiful home. Leslie grew up in the home, and I recall when Leslie came to my office one day for a senior appointment. And I was afraid she wasn't going to serve God, and I wept as she left. But the Lord has spoken to her heart and made her a lovely Christian now in our college. And so she got 15 little bus kids in a slumber party at her house last night and brought those 15 little kids there. And they got to see the house, and I'm sure had some refreshments and so forth, and brought them to church this morning. You know, a lot of little kids, they never had anybody to curl their hair for them. And these little fellows need to have their hair curled. So a lot of these kids, they don't know how to dress. They don't know any better. We have hundreds of little kids come to our church, don't even have dresses. I was at the Civic Center. Little girl walked by in a pair of slacks, and I said, hey, glad to have you this morning. Wear a dress next Sunday. She came next Sunday. She came up and she said, see, I got a dress. She said, first one I ever had. That's the kind of people God loves. That's the thing that's built, this great church right here.
It's well on port. What are you doing about it? But amen, I'm glad we have it.
How many of the crowd have you gathered up?
Well, I'm glad for the college kids to do it.
You're not right with God if that's all you're doing.
Well, I'm very happy for all the people to go soul winning. Listen to me. You hear me. God has called you
to gather up these people. God's called you to this. I was thinking a while ago when we had the announcement about Arlene Beck. Arlene, where are you? Arlene? Straight up? Yeah, there she is. God bless her. How old were you when you came to our church the first time? 13. Little 13-year-old bus girl. And God saved her. And she kept growing in grace. Finally, she went to Bob Jones University. And anybody that graduates from Bob Jones University has his BA degree from Bob Jones, the Tennessee Temple, the Baptist Bible College, any of these good schools. If they have their degrees from those schools, we'll take them as freshmen in Howells and Anderson then. And when I say that to these schools, they don't like it there. But anyway, I'm just kidding, of course. But she went to Bob Jones University, and they found out she had cancer. And God healed her of her cancer. Little bus kid. And I can recall her coming into my office and asking for counsel and help, just a bus kid. And she came back to our school, and we counseled a long time. And Arlene said, Brother Howells, what should I do? And I said, go to college. And I said, I want you to take education, and I want you to be a grade school teacher. And we talked about it, and she said, okay, that's what I'll do. I'll take your word for it. Now she's a senior at Howells Anderson College, graduates this May at Howells Anderson College. And she's doing her student teaching now in Hammond Baptist Grade School. And Mr. O'Clair says she's a splendid teacher. What is she? Little bus kid. Little ragamuffin, dirty bus kid. Not dirty now, but I mean, she's cleaned up some. And just a bus kid. Just a bus kid. God loves them, you know it. And by the way, after a while, they become the elite. Yeah. I recall down in Texas one day, I went out to make a visit. I knocked on the door, and I could smell the odor. I've never seen a dirtier house in my life. Had a beautiful screen door laying out in the yard. And it was the dirtiest place you ever saw. I could call the name of the family I want. I had never seen so many dirty kids in my life. I walked in and said, hello, my name is Brother Miles. I'm from the Old Baptist Church. I'm so glad to see you. And so I invited them to come to church, and they came. And I recall the day that family came for the first time. They sat down back over here. When they sat down, everybody else moved. And they had a private pew back there, several pews for the family sat. Just as they didn't have, they didn't smell bad. They stank. And you should have seen the house. I want you to know, there was a rat for every cat to chase. And the awful place. And so, we got them saved. And they never, as far as I know, didn't get much better. I left the church after a couple of years, and I didn't go back to the house much. I was down in Greenville, South Carolina, preaching one day. And a lovely lady came to me, and she said, Brother Howells, do you know me? And I said, no. She called her name, and I said, sure, I know you. I didn't tell her what I thought about her, but a lovely young lady. I said, what are you doing now? And she said, I'm a school teacher. I graduated from Bob Jones University, and I'm a school teacher. And I went to my room and tapped my hands and praised the Lord. You know, these old ghetto people, I mean, these zealous servants and these people that stop their gravy, they didn't after a while how to eat. That's wow. Both hands up here, stopping gravy with both hands. After a while, they learned you're supposed to put one hand on the table and stop the gravy with one hand. You saw that in coming, didn't you? But they learned something after a while, and they become somebody. Oh, listen to me. The dear Lord wants us to use the new method, not the old. All across America, folks are using the old method. That's a dignified servant going to the elite people and giving a very nice invitation to come to the King's banquet. Ah, but they're a bunch of new, it's a new breed of preachers across this country coming on the scene. And these are a bunch of hellfire and brimstone, barnstorming, compassionate men of God that love the Bible and love sinners, who get up and plead with people and say, oh, there's a hell to shun.
Don't go to hell, turn to Jesus!
They don't say there is an eternal abyss for those who are unprepared for to meet the Master one day. They say, oh no, there's a hell, a burning hell, where people die and burn and cry, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever and ever. You know, in pastor school, we're going to have a wedding, a formal wedding, that these 3,000 or 3,500 preachers and folks that come see how we have a wedding here. We're going to pack this place for a wedding, and guess who's going to get married? We don't know yet. We're trying to find somebody. I don't want to tell you because I promised Maxine Jeffers I'd keep it a secret. But anyway, no, guess who's going to get married? Since Graves, who's been one of our substitute teachers, grew up in our church here, Gail Graves. But guess who's going to marry us? Jerry Fargo. Who, Jerry? One of our bus kids. Graduates from Hiles Anderson College this spring. Gonna go full-time in God's service. A fine gentleman of a lad. And we're going to stand up here and slobber and marry him. And we're going to praise God, aren't we? And we're going to say, thank God. Oh, listen, I'm so glad God loves the downhearted. I'm glad about this new plan. I'm glad the Lord said, okay, you couldn't get the new people, the old people, get some new ones. I'm glad the Lord said, you couldn't get them with a formal approach. Just go out and holler and scream, gather a crowd up. You couldn't get them with the old servants, get some new servants. Couldn't get them with the old places, go to the new places, the highways and the hedges. You couldn't get them with the old plan, gather them together and bring them together. And they'll become the elite. That's what this church has been built on. We have some lovely people in our church. This morning we had Russell Anderson here. Russell Anderson has given this church, I guess, about $1.25 million in the last 10 years. I don't know a finer friend to this church than Russell Anderson. We got a check for our college the other day for $50,000 from Russell Anderson. Now, I was glad to see him. But God knows my heart. And he'll get this faith. And I'm glad for him to hear it. And I wish you were here to hear it tonight. I love Russell Anderson. He's like a brother to me. No man on the face of the earth has been any kinder to me. He'd give me anything he has if I'd take it. But this is true. Just as welcome as he was. For these poor kids that came on these buses this morning. I'm honored to have them walking on these carpets. I'm honored to have them sitting on these pews. It may be that one of these days, in fact, the other day, already somebody has gotten knife and carved his initials on one of our pews. I'm sorry about that. I wish it weren't true. I hate to see the initials carved on the pews. But God knows these pews aren't here to stay beautiful. I hope they do. They're here to make people beautiful. And there's something to me very sweet and tender about those little boys went down there and robbed the offering this morning. And I don't mean it's sweet that they robbed the offering. But there's something very sweet. You know why? Because that's the kind of, I don't mean I was a robber, but I was one of those little kids. And there's something sweet about that. There's one place and there's one church that'll hire a man and pay him a good salary and give him a staff and buy him a big bus center and pay $8,000 a week to round up all those little robbers and bring them here. Now there's something very sweet about that to me. That's God's plan. What are you doing tonight about rounding up the new people in the new places?
What are you doing? You say, Brother Howes, I'm for it. I don't mean you're for it. What are you doing about it?
We're about to start a spring program. May God give us a new zeal, a new diligence to go new places and get new people. I'll close with this again. I close many times, as you know, in every sermon. I love to close. Oh, but sometimes I just begin the closing all the way through. But I am down in San Antonio, Texas. A poor little kid came to Sunday school one day. Nobody witnessed to him. He slipped through their fingers. He didn't get saved. You know what his name was? Sirhan. Sirhan. The fellow who killed Robert Kennedy. One day, a fellow came to America from overseas. Stayed in America. Lived in an apartment house with a family in New York. Went to a fundamental church. His name was Karl Marx. Almost got saved. He didn't get saved because of the inconsistency of Christian people. I wonder what would happen if somebody had been burdened for Karl Marx in the church he attended. And Sirhan, Sirhan. I wonder what had happened. Well, Mahatma Gandhi said, I would be a Christian if it were not for Christians. Did you know that John Dillinger, was he killed in Chicago over here? Where? In Chicago? John Dillinger, the famous, notorious outlaw. Did you know he almost got saved in a revival meeting? If somebody loved him. Now you listen to me. Those little kids down at that church this morning taking that money, they will be John Dillinger's unless somebody loves them. Thank God. Thank God for the fellows who kept the buses, got the buses started this morning in 5 below 0 weather. Thank God for these men that were there most of the night last night. Getting the buses. Thank God for these people that drove the buses. Thank God for these people that followed the new plan that God told us to follow. And we're all over this great area. Thank God for people that love people. Thank God for the youth program that houses these poor kids. Some of them in the afternoon down at the youth center all afternoon so they come back to the services at night. Thank God that the plan that God has given us is one to include all of us. By the way, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, God wants you. But you say, I'm poor, God wants you. But you say, I'm nobody, God wants nobody. He wants somebodies and nobodies. He wants the illiterate and illiterate. He wants the seeing and the blind. He wants the hearing and the deaf. He wants the rich and the poor. God wants you. Yes, he does. He loves you. And if you'll come and trust him, he'll receive you. And you can eat at the table. That may be for a while. You won't know how to behave. Like the folks who baptize folks sometimes. And time again, I said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I go back like this. They've never seen baptizing. And they go forward. They don't quite understand what to do. We had some little kid took the Lord's Supper, and a little kid said, how much that liquor cost that you served? How much it cost to get a shot, he said. He didn't understand. He didn't know. They call me Father Hiles. Hey, is that the Father? No, I'm Brother Hiles. But they don't understand. They don't know. I could tell you some of the funniest stories about little kids and poor people. I told you about that lady in Texas, Bob Keys, because his heart is in heaven. Bob Keys went later to Jesus and said, now, make it public. I never have been to a Protestant church, he said. Well, okay, you come to church, and when all the people come forward, you come forward. And I closed again with this. And so she sat back there, about two-thirds back, and she said, people come forward, I come forward. Came time for the offering, and a bunch of ushers came down, collection plate. She said, when the people come forward, I go forward. She stepped out in the aisle, marched down the aisle with the ushers. And the ushers lined up across the front. She lined up across the front. And they spread their legs like this and put their hands behind her back. Her Irisher said then, she spread her legs like this and put her hands behind her back like this. She didn't understand. That's the kind Jesus loves. That's the kind you love. That's the kind you died for. Tonight, if you're that kind, maybe you don't understand all of it. You understand this?
He says, I can't understand. What's this up here?
That's the choir.
What are you?
I'm the preacher.
And what's this up here?
That's the Baptist, or baptized people.
What's this over here?
That's the piano we play. You don't understand it. Hey, do you understand this? You understand that you're a sinner? You do wrong? You understand that Jesus died for sinners and loved sinners? You understand that if you can come and trust Him as your Savior, take you to heaven when you die? That's all you got to understand. That's all you have to understand.
Come out
this soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. I wonder tonight if some of us shouldn't say, I'm not gathering the people in. I'm not busy about the Master's business. I wonder how many would say tonight, Brother Hiles, I believe this plan. I believe in this emergency measure to get people to come to the guests to the banquet. But I'm not doing all I could for God. Brother Hiles, I know this area is teeming with people. Millions of people that don't know and don't understand. Somebody's got to go tell them. Brother Hiles, I ask God to forgive me tonight, and I want you to pray for me. I've not been doing my part. I've not been carrying my end of the bargain. Lord, I've not been fulfilling my end of the bargain. I've just not been doing what I ought to do to help in this great ministry here of reaching people. I want God to forgive me, and I want you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the building? All over the building. God bless you. God bless you. Our Heavenly Father, in some ways, speak to our hearts. In God's name, oh, the people that are doing nothing, shake them out of their complacency and help them realize this is the day to go to new people in new areas with a new plan, with new zeal. And thank God you'll send most anybody now, new servants. Speak to the hearts of these people. But now, wait a minute. After a while, we're going to sing. If you feel you need to come to the altar and do something about making a definite decision, you do it. But wait a minute. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. I'm one of those people that I'm not the elite, maybe. I'm not the up and up, maybe. I'm not the PhD of the scholar. So Brother Hiles, I am a sinner, and I want to be saved. I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. Brother Hiles, would you pray for me? First on the main floor. If you don't know you're going to heaven, but you wish you did, you'd say, pray for me. Lift your hand, please. On the main floor. Lift it way up high. You'd like to be saved and know it. God bless you. Back in the back. I see you. God bless you over here. Who else? On the main floor. On the lower floor. Pray for me. I'd like you to be saved and know it. Pray for me. I want to know I'm going to heaven. God bless you, little lady. I see you. Who else? Who else? Just raise your hand on the main floor. You don't know you're saved, but you wish you did. God bless you, fellas. God loves you back there, and so do I. Who else would say, pray for me? I'm more to say than know it. Pray for me. Raise your hand, please. Pray up high. God bless you. Who else on the main floor? In the balcony? Anywhere in the balcony, you'd say, include me in this prayer. Raise your hand, would you, please? You don't know that you're saved, but you wish you did. Lift your hand, please. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. God loves you. Who else in the balcony? Pray for me. God bless you, fellow. Who else? Who else? I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. Slip out from your seat and raise your hand, and after a while, you can slip out from your seat and say yes to God. Who else? Raise your hand. Say, pray for me. I want to be saved. Our Heavenly Father, I do pray for these. I pray that in a sweet and wonderful way, you'd speak to the hearts of all these dear people. And may everyone that needs Jesus realize that this is the new plan, the emergency plan. We're not just calling the elite. We're calling everybody. We're not just calling the up, we're calling the down. We're not just calling the rich, we're calling the poor. Yes, we're still calling the rich, but now anybody can come. I pray you'd help them to come to Jesus tonight. Now with heads bowed, in a few minutes we're going to stand and sing. I want everyone who raised his hand, and those who didn't and should have, for me saying, I want you to leave your seat and come to the nearest side.